spirit of the prophets or subject to the prophets. So if a prophet has a word, then we want to hear it. And if you have a word from God, then you're a prophet. You prophesy, not a future or a fortune teller necessarily, but you have a word. You have a song. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not faint. Mount up with wings as eagles. His joy will go before us. His joy is our strength. Always. 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 God makes sense. He always makes sense. It doesn't have to make sense to us. But he makes sense. He does things the way he wants to do them. He sent his word to perform. He watches over his word to perform it. He gave us his word so that he could perform his word coming out of us. I mean, it makes sense. It doesn't make sense, but it makes perfect sense. If we just let the Lord be the one to make sense of it. That works very well for me because I don't figure a lot. I don't necessarily need to be able to figure things out. And I don't have to say to God, I need to understand, because he understands. So I've always said for 38 years, I'm lazy and it's beneficial. Physically, I can understand physical work. I like physical work. I can do physical work because in physical work, I don't have to think a lot. And I find that if I start trying to think in spiritual work, I get in the way of the mind of Christ. That's just how it is. I mean, if we take Ephesians and it says in 1:4, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and he chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. He chose us to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So that's just how he sees it. This week in jail, as we were talking about the peace of God, God brings out some truths to people in jail and prison because he wants them. And sometimes he says things to them that I listen to and I think, I hope that doesn't get outside of here. Because some religious person is going to have an idea locked up in their head and it's going to mess them up. And so as I was sharing, I told them, you got to understand this. God is not disappointed in you. God just doesn't have the time to waste on being disappointed. Well, I saw that going into people's hearts. I felt it going into mine. And I thought, wow, that's perfect. Because he doesn't have time to waste on being disappointed. He's got his eyes on what he has planned. But the devil's big on disappointment. Because disappointment is an accusation. It's a condemnation. He's just not disappointed. Well, if he's not disappointed, at least he's not pleased. He doesn't have time for not pleased either. But look what he did in the Old Testament, yeah? I don't need to figure that out either. But look what Jesus did. To the woman caught in adultery, did he say, I'm so disappointed in you. I just don't know what to do with you. No, he didn't say anything. He let everybody stand there in his presence. And then he said, I got an idea. Anybody that's never sinned and was without sin, throw the first stone. messed up their whole philosophy. And then he said, now, did no one condemn you? She said, no one. Did he say, I'm really disappointed in you, but I don't condemn you? No. He said, just go and sin no more. In other words, those three famous words, get over it. And then those two famous words after the three famous words, keep going. And then maybe two more famous words, press in. Press on. See, that's God's intention for a walk with Him. Just trust me. Just trust me. You know? We sing, even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. Even when it doesn't make sense, you're faithful. It doesn't have to make sense to us because God said, my ways are above your ways and my thoughts are above your thoughts. You know, walking with God is like being caught. You know? And it's okay, you're just caught. It's like if you're talking about somebody and they enter the room and all of a sudden it gets quiet. You're caught. You might as well be individual enough, man enough, woman enough to just admit it. But instead, you're just caught. And when you're caught, it plants seeds in that person's head. They have to try to figure out what you were caught at. And so they don't know for sure whether to be mad or glad. And so most of the time people choose mad. Indignant. You were talking about me. And then the person that was talking about them has to deal with, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Or sometimes even, you know, it's a secret and so you're not supposed to tell them, but still you're caught. And so it could be for something wonderful. It could be something, just wait till you see. And how long does it take then to get back together? You have to get over it. We have to cast down those imaginations that exalt themselves against the way God does things. God doesn't do things necessarily the way we think that He should. But who are we to decide how He should? I think that's kind of part of entering in to His rest. Okay. I'm okay. I'm still okay. I'll be all right. God is for me. If God be for me, who can be against me? So God planned because He loved us. If He loved us, He's not disappointed in us, is He? He still sees who we are. When my children learned to walk and they fell down, I wasn't disappointed in them. We helped them up, cheered for the one step, right? Last night I got a call and I knew I needed to take that call. Sometimes I let them lie to me and I just get off, and sometimes I don't. And this time this guy called me. I said, what's up? Well, what, can't I just call you? I said, what's up? It's late on a Saturday night. What's up? Well, you know, and he finally, I said, look, I know something's up. Well, yeah, it is. And so, you know, when something's up, then let's deal with it. Let's not, I mean, I'm not saying that it's a waste of time to talk to him, but it would be a waste of time if we just talked and nothing happened and nothing got done. And he tried, you know how people will try. It was like, first of all, I tried to put it on me. Well, you're being hard on me. I'm not being hard on you. He said, well, I'm glad you are. I needed that. But if I could fall under condemnation, if I could fall into, oh, man, you know? And so something was accomplished. You see, when God works in our lives, something can be accomplished if we just trust Him. If we're willing to get understanding, even if it's down the road somewhere, our heart will bear witness that He's doing something. And our head will catch up if we'll follow what the Spirit inside of us is saying. Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in us, working the things out and us waiting on Him while He does. I mean, when a pheasant hit my car a couple of years ago and put a dent in the fender, I tried to fix it. So I was sticking a stick up in the well and I was fixing it one punch at a time. And all of those punches still show. And so I went to the body man, someone who knows. He looked at it. He opened up the hood. And he went right through a little hole in the fender well. And I'm going, oh, if I would have started there, it would have just popped out. I said, are you telling me that I made it worse? Yep. You made it worse. So I considered having him fix it. But when I got home, I used that spot that he showed me. And I couldn't fix the damage I did before. Those little dents were in there. But I got it pushed out where I thought, oh man, that would have looked good if I had done it right the first time. See, I didn't know how to do it. And doing the best that I could, I messed it up more than I helped it. The good fortune was is that the car was covered in hail because I bought it with hail dents. Good price. And so that one little spot, someone would have to wonder, how did that one get so many hail dents in one spot? And I don't put a sign on the car to help them understand how it got that way. I just let them think whatever they want. If I were to come out of Walmart and see somebody looking at that fender, I would just smile and wait till they're done. But if they were to ask, I got to know, how did that happen? I could testify to them. I could tell them about the goodness of God and how that's a good reminder of how we can mess things up if we don't just go along with Him. The best thing that can happen to us is when we quit trying to figure out. See, because if we're convinced that God is disappointed in us, then we will think about God at a distance. We won't be comfortable because He's disappointed in me anyway. And so we just stay apart. And God doesn't want to be apart from us. But He won't force us to come close. You know, I'm reminded, and I've told some of you before, of the time when I was a kid, and a friend of mine took cigarettes of his dad's, and we rode around on our bicycles, being cool, smoking on the cigarettes. And then, walking into church one Sunday morning, my friend's dad, who smoked a lot of cigarettes, walked toward me. And he was disappointed. And he was mad. And he explained to me, "Do you realize what you guys smoked up?" They were German cigarettes that he had brought home from the war. They were a memory for him. And I think that my friend threw away the package. At least he could have left in the package. And so I was, for a long time, very far backed off from him. And for a very long time, tiptoed around my parents because I was sure he must have told my parents. And I waited for the hammer to fall. And waited. And while I was waiting for the hammer to fall, how do you think things were around home? There was me being the most perfect little boy that I could imagine being and not feeling free at all. And I don't know if my parents ever did find out about it, but they never did talk to me about it. And it killed me. So I sat with not being able to go to the neighbor's house because he is going to get me one day. You know, he couldn't smack me in the church, but the time was coming. And I don't know if my parents knew and they were disappointed in me or not, but you see, I was going to try to figure out how to fix it. But you can't do it. If you find out a way, if you figure out a way to try to fix things yourself, guess what? You'll think I did it all by myself. People write books about their little secrets. And other people want to know their little secrets. And then they can do it the same way. Levon, you didn't write your book so people would do things the same way you did, do you? You just wrote it so they could know your stuff. And if it helps them, fine. But oftentimes, someone will have something that this is what works. Because this is what I did. If I did it, it's not grace. For it is by grace you are saved. By faith. Or by faith that you're saved by grace. But it's by God. It's by Him. And so if I figure it out, then I figured it out. And I might feel better about it, but I might have just made things worse between me and God. Because He's still waiting for me to trust Him. He's still just waiting for me to trust Him. People want to know why this and why that and why this and why that. And they try to figure out the why and they get it all figured out. And they write it down in their journal. I write stuff in my journal. But I've never written down why something. Because I can't figure it out. Oh, I could say, "Lord, why did Vicki say yes when I asked her to marry me?" And she could be honest and say there were a couple of days where she wondered maybe the same thing. But I think for the last 38 years, she is, "Thank God, whoa, I'm so glad you found that guy." Because we wouldn't be moving on 45 years. You know? Yeah. Well, just take a break on figuring things out. It'll wear you out. There's enough problems. There's enough stuff, you know? Why doesn't God just smack down all the people that aren't doing things the way we want them done? Why doesn't He just poof, straighten this world out? I think that whenever we say those things, the Holy Spirit bears witness with us, you don't really want that right now. And we don't really want that right now. If we're saved, if we know Jesus, we're really glad God waited until we got saved. And when we're honest, we recognize that there really was nobody as stupid as us. That's not something to get down about. That's something to be excited about. You know? Was it a Beatles song that says, I used to love her, but it's all over now. I used to be stupid, but it's all over now. I got the mind of Christ. If I don't access it, that's not his fault, but I got it. And I can and I will. Because more and more I'll discover, that wasn't God. And when I discover that wasn't God, I say, sorry, God. And now everything's okay. It doesn't matter if somebody else says it can't be okay that quick. I don't care what they say. Not that I don't care about them. It doesn't matter, because if I let what they say make more of a difference than what he says, I'm going to keep myself trapped. I'm going to keep myself in doubt. I'm going to keep myself condemned. And people do that all the time. They do that all the time because they just can't believe that it's that simple. He planned before he made the world. He loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy, without fault in his eyes. Well, he can't be talking about me with no fault. Yeah. He is the ultimate in no fault insurance. Now, what moves us along is a desire for God. Just to desire God. You know? Billy and Christy came in their Harley shirts because they're my Harley gang. But they didn't come until after Billy said, priorities first. See, that's all God wants us to be, our priority. He wants to be our priority because when we prioritize things with God, it means that we want the things of God. You know, that just as simple as that. He wants to be our priority, not because he's disappointed when he's not, but because that's how things fall into place. That's how things work. So we praise God for the glorious grace that he's poured out on us who belong to his dear son. I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. And he doesn't have a two-pen system. He doesn't have the ones I'm not proud of and the ones I am proud of. He's got the ones that need work and the ones that have worked, all in the same pan, rubbing off on each other. And we don't have the right from God to decide if we're the ones that have worked over those that need work. You know. We don't have the right to decide who needs. We have the privilege to live. Just to live. And it makes sense. It makes sense to take away all of the effort that we have to put in to deciding who's right and who's wrong. God's right. And we're free from condemnation so that we don't stand back trying to see if got them being disappointed or not. We just sprint to it. This morning I came in. I said hello to Danica. Danica puckered. Danica gave me a kiss. Later I was coming down the aisle toward her. And I raised out my arm so she could come to me. She went to Mama. I thought all girls should be that smart. A kiss, no more. Folks, God makes sense. He just makes sense. He doesn't put us into a bondage of figuring out anything. He gives us the opportunity to believe. And with that believing comes all those things that He has given us, all the riches of God in Christ Jesus. We just get them. And everybody gets the same. And some people work on it, and some people don't work on it. Coming out of Walmart on Friday after a wedding rehearsal, there's always been this table sitting there, and so I thought they got these shirts and they got God t-shirts and stuff, and a lot of times it's really windy and I can't hear what they're saying and I got to get going, but this time I decided I would stop and see what they're about, and they're an addiction program from Rolla, Missouri, and I'm standing here and my brain is going, how can you afford to come to Pierce, South Dakota to raise money, you know? What is this? And that, but my heart is saying, just go with them. And this young girl told me her story of how she was all but dead from crack and needles and everything else, and she got her life together and she was following Jesus, but then she said, then I fell off and I fell down, and so I ended up back there, and it's the best thing that I ever did, and she's just loving Jesus. And I never once felt like, well, if you loved Him in the first place, why in the world did you do that the second place? I thought, praise God, you just kept coming. You just kept coming. So I got me 2 t-shirts and came home. But the thing is that she found her hope in Christ. That makes her a smart one. Jesus Christ makes her a perfect one. Her actions, they'll line up. They will. And so my opportunity is to encourage. I didn't have even any need to challenge her. The guy that called the other night, he needed a challenge. And he knew that. But the answer is always the same, God. The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit who empowers and gives us wisdom. You see, when we get wisdom from above, then above wisdom makes sense. If we try to plug in earthly wisdom, heavenly wisdom doesn't make sense, does it? And we have this innate ability to think that somehow we can improve on God's plan. He could do things just a little bit better. Or we could just let Him be God. That makes sense. He makes sense. So in our lives, let's continue to let Him make sense in our lives. Let's not be standoffish from Him. Let's run to Him. We can't improve on His plan, so we may as well approve His plan. I like Your ways, Lord. Your ways are above my ways. I want to get there. Your thoughts are above my thoughts. I want to get there. But until I do, I'll leave the ways and the thoughts to You, and I will enjoy You, God. I enjoy the Lord. And when I enjoy the Lord, I enjoy my life. And if there's something going on in my life that I'm not enjoying, I can try to fix that. And if I've got something I can do to fix that, I can do something if it's led by the Spirit. But the best thing I can do is go to God. Because why would I not be enjoying life when He came so that I might have joy and that His joy would be my strength? Why don't I just give Him a call? See, I was this guy's last call last night. That's why he said to me, well, I've called a lot of people. You're being the hardest on me. And I'm glad you are. But just think if he would learn, not that there's anything wrong with calling somebody. Call somebody if you need to call somebody. But what if his first call was just Jesus? Why call a lot of other people to get what God says? Well, the reason is because if you call other people and they say stuff, then it's them saying stuff until your spirit bears witness. Ooh, that's God. Years ago, Vicki and I were at a Brookings Pastors Conference, and this guy who was a prophetic guy, and he said, I'm going to call up some of you people. I want you to just have lines and prophesy to people. I don't do that. But my name came up. What are you going to do? So I went up to do it. It was really weird. Before the people got there, I knew what to say. And I just said it. And I discovered that everyone who came moved on to the next line to get another one. I don't think they liked what I said. And I said such profound things as, I believe the Lord's already told you, so he doesn't give me anything to add. Go to the next line. But there was one guy. And apparently, he just listened to what God told him. And it was just a simple word. But it changed his life, and he's been a pastor for 30 years. But you see, that's the thing. If you want to hear from God, that's good. But hear from God what God wants. Don't go to God thinking you're going to hear what you want to hear. Now you might. There's no saying that he can't do that. But when we go to God, let's just hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say. Let's not try to get him to say what we want to say or him to do what we want him to do. Honestly, Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. Do it. That's just great. But don't be disappointed, because God doesn't disappoint. Be confident that he's able to complete what he began. Be confident in God. Be confident that he's not disappointed in you. He's not condemning you. He only loves you, because when you come to him, they will no wise cast you out. He'd no wise push you away. Nothing like that. It's all yes and amen with God. And so, I've been to Jesus. I'm good. I better go back to Jesus. It ain't still holding on. Fine, go back again. Go back again. But just understand this, that he makes sense even when we don't get it. He's right. Even when we don't understand. Just sit with him. Just sit with him. You know, I hope that on occasion, and that you have learned to just sit with God. As we were just sitting after we were done singing. When we got to the end of the last song, God said, "That's it." I didn't say, "But God, I'm a worshiper. We need to worship." No, he said, "That's it." And so we sat. And I was told by the Lord to just encourage you to remember to sit with him. Just a moment could turn into a long time. But a moment will last for eternity. Just do it. We've got the time to just sit with the Lord. You know? Just stop and sit down and say, "I'm sitting with the Lord." Now, your mind might be 500 miles away, but you're sitting with the Lord. And maybe it takes 10 seconds to move the 500 miles to where you're sitting with the Lord. But it's the best time that we'll ever spend. Enter into that rest. Because when we understand that he makes sense and that he's the only place our answers are, the rest comes. Father, we know, because the Spirit bears witness that we should enter into your rest. And we've got lots of other avenues that we might sometimes take, and we sometimes try to fix things, and we sometimes try to think things, and even when we do that, we know that we're wasting time. Lord, draw us, as we come closer, draw us in so that we can't step away. You, O Lord, are a shield to us. You're the glory and the lifter of our heads. Help us to set our minds to seek you in all things at all times. To you be all glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.